Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Toon Jam. I'm Matt.
And I'm Jayman.
And today we're doing something a little bit different. Yes, we have discussed on the last few episodes that we'd like to mix things up now that we're in the, you know, what is it, Toon Jam 200?
200, yeah.
Or 300. We're working towards 300 now. So yeah. Toon Ham. This is a new name, Toonham 300.
Welcome to the Toonham 300.
Welcome to the Toonham 300. So instead of doing the usual, watch an episode and talk about it, we've decided to, once a month, at least for now, we'll see how it goes, just discuss a topic. Mm. Get really into the overall Toon experience and talk about things that we don't usually get to touch on that much, or we have done a little bit and thought it'd be good to get into that a bit more. And today we're going to start doing that by talking about cartoon video games and how far they've come, and kind of where they've gone, really. I feel like there was a heyday, particularly, you know, when we were younger. So sort of 90s, noughties era.
Mm.
It seemed to be, you know, a very big market for, particularly for consoles and things like that, to have a game of a cartoon or animated film. Whereas nowadays, you still get them, but it's not as prevalent.
Yeah.
So we're going to try and, I guess, find out why that is.
Mm.
So let's dig in from the top, sort of thing. Like, let's go to those old games. What are we covering? I mean, when we say there's lots of games, you know.
Yeah, when you,
what
think,
are the ones, like, you remember?
Yeah, old cartoon video game. Like, what are the titles that come to mind for you? Like, what do you remember playing at that sort of as a kid? That was like, that was really exciting.
Yeah, those ones, I think. Early on, when I think about the first ones, because I think, like I say, I do think there was a lot more, and I remember playing on several different consoles. They, you know, it was at least half of what you had.
It was cartoon-related, yeah.
It was cartoon-related games. And then, but the earliest I sort of remember, I guess it's like on the Sega Master System I had. I think, not the Mega Drive, but they were very similar, weren't they, those two consoles?
Yeah. I did get confused.
Did they come out at the same time?
I don't know.
Or is it like a NES situation?
I always get confused. I always forget about, like, the Master System, because I never had one. So, but, like, I know people that did. They always kind of confused me. But I think,
they were very similar.
Hmm.
I had Aladdin on it.
Yeah.
And I had Lion King.
Right.
And I remember playing them a lot.
Mm.
But in saying that, I don't remember you get stuck on a level.
Yeah, yeah, and they were pretty.
And every time you played them, you had to start again.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, the Disney ones, like they were pretty good at putting out titles. Like there seemed to be one, you know, there was one for every film, pretty much.
Yeah.
And they were kind of like the sort of adventure side scrollery ones, weren't they? With like Aladdin and Lion King, lots of platforms.
But when you think about, they were never like, they didn't have them for Beauty and the Beast or. Mm. I guess The Little Mermaid was probably a little bit too early.
Yeah.
Anyway, but it did tend to be the you know, like Hercules, boy-centric titles.
Yeah. Because, that's definitely how games were marketed back then. It was just all boys, wasn't it, really? Like,
yeah.
But I played Aladdin. I do remember that. And I remember there being, like, little details that were quite cool. Like the fact that, like, if you just kind of stood around, you just kind of like get an apple out and just kind of lob it up.
Yeah, yeah.
Just like, it was just like, I just remember some, the amount of times I spent just not doing anything to see if he did stuff was probably more than going through the levels.
I used to play a lot with my brother, and you know, every time you didn't play together, you'd find something. And the next time, it's like, oh man, I was playing the other day and like I stopped to blow my nose. And then he started bouncing an apple on his elbow.
Yeah.
So then you literally turn it on and you'd be like, look, watch this. And you just sit there watching it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Waiting for it to happen. And then it was like, oh, whoa. That was it.
Yeah.
But that's, for some reason, that was the most fun.
That was really fun. Go.
Yeah.
I think part of that is like when you're a kid as well, especially like with games. Back then, I mean, yeah, I'm guessing it's the same for kids now. Like you don't fully understand how they work, so it's like they've got the potential that they could do anything, you know. So you kind of you are literally waiting to see what happens because you don't know the limits of the console or the technology and stuff. So it's like you're still kind of wrapping your head around it. So it's that, I think that's.
And you're not always bothered by. You're not bothered by the story and things like that, really, are you? You just kind of. Bothered about what you're doing.
Yeah, and you're excited to see like characters that you know, like in an interactive situation as well, aren't you, sort of thing? Because it's like that's what makes the cartoon tie-in sort of like a bit irresistible for a kid, is that like it's like I know who that is, like I've, you know, you love that character, you've watched them a lot, sort of thing. And then now you get into see this is like a new episode for you, do you know what I mean? But you get to sort of play in it and you know, you get to control your favorite heroes and stuff, and when you're a kid, it feels like something else, you know. It feels really exciting, even though a lot of them didn't really have much as far as like story and stuff goes, and some of them did though, however, like, you know, it's weird, some of the titles that they seem to put like heart and soul into, and then others were like just trash.
Like it seems, the Mickey Mouse ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And they were always set, they were quite surreal, weren't they? I remember one where, like, at the end of every level, you had to fight a different version of Pete.
Right, yeah.
And it was like, so the first level was like Steamboat Willie.
Hmm.
And then the next level would be a complete, and I just remember there being like one was Pete and it was like a giant spider.
Right, oh, really?
Pete's head. And you just stuff like that, and you're like, at the time, it was just like, oh, yeah, this is a boss.
Mm.
But then when you think back, you're like, that is so bizarre.
Yeah, it's weird that they made those choices.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose...
That was the kind of interesting, wasn't it? Like, the weird thing about him was that they had their own feel to them.
Yeah, yeah, they did. Yeah, they really did. I think as you get away from... sort of like 2D animation as well, it becomes really interesting because you I guess it's sort of the lines between like what a cartoon and a video game is then become like crossed over, don't they, sort of thing. So when you get into like early like Toy Story titles and stuff, it's weird how your brain kind of adjusts in some ways and doesn't in others. Because I remember playing the Toy Story game and still being really happy with it, but when you actually go back and look at the like the PlayStation Store Toy Story title, and then you look at the Pixar animation, it's like, oh boy, like there's clearly a divide in quality. But it's funny how you don't make that distinction when you sit and play in it and stuff. Like, it's really weird.
There's the Toy Story is a weird one because obviously there was there's two games. Well, there's, I mean, there's a game for every, there's not a Toy Story 4 game as far as I'm aware, but 1, 2 and 3 all had a game.
Yeah, yeah.
Toy Story 1 is obviously, you know, big time 2D. You play as Woody, don't you?
Mm, yeah.
And sort of, I remember Buzz being like the first boss.
I don't even remember.
Or was it the other way around? No, yeah, it was that. And then Toy Story 2, you play as Buzz Lightyear.
Right.
And Toy Story 2 was like 3D.
Yeah, yeah.
There was this change. Obviously, at that period, everything was changing quite quickly.
Yeah.
But all games were 2D, essentially, until they were like, you know, until these sort of... Like N64, PlayStation 1,
yeah,
you know, period. And then they so that obviously the first one came out just before that. Mm. The second one was 3D, and I remember the second one being so much better.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you and each level was like, you went on a level and you had to do a little, your little side quest sort of things.
Mm. You kind of, you just... figuring out stuff around the room, weren't you? Sort of like
going, yeah, it was like you need to collect all the batteries.
Mm.
And that would be it. It would just be like, you need to collect these things. But for some reason, it was just really fun. I guess that's the classic 3D platformer, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And that, yeah, that changes things quite a lot. Like, I wonder if, you know, if you went back to like Aladdin and stuff like that, and they did sort of a modern version of that game, like how that had come out, like, and, you know, I wonder how much of it is just kids loving seeing those characters in a game, like, no matter what.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's a big part of it. Like, the companies know, it's like, kids will make their parents buy this because it's this. Yeah. So sometimes there is a questionable amount of effort that goes into it, because some of them are clearly just like cash tie-ins, aren't they? It's like, we've got a film, it's just a marketing tactic. It's like, we make a game for it, whatever. Which is, you know, some of them that I mean, there's going to be like, yeah, I remember just like Transformers titles and stuff like that were just really terrible. Like, you know, there was no substance to the actual game. It was just like, this is Transformers, and it's got the bare that's minimum in there.
They sort of started taking a turn. It was like, it was that 3D era.
Hmm.
And they were still doing that, releasing one for every title, essentially, because obviously, especially because I guess when we were young playing games, a lot of the market for like gaming was kids.
Yes, yeah.
Whereas now it's far broader. Obviously, kids still play games.
Hmm.
But then you've got adults that play games as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
a lot.
I don't think that was sort of like understood almost back then, was it? It was
no.
Like, yeah, just like games of kids, pretty much. Like, I mean, yeah, there's the sort of adult genre kind of did, it took a slow build, didn't it, really? And I think it's not until the adults started playing these titles and then they became critical about the content of the game that people realized, like, you can't just slap something out there. It has to at least have, you know, this much content in it, sort of thing, because adults were playing them and being like, we paid, you know, because they're expensive, like, you know, we've paid, you know, 30-40 quid for this, and it's like, it's three levels, and you just go from one side of the screen to the other with pretty much nothing interrupting you, and it's like, well, yeah, why would I pay for that? Like, why are you getting...
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Like, if they release now, and I mean, there's so many games we've not even discussed yet.
Mm.
But like, say now they released a game of Darkwing Duck.
Yeah.
A new one. Like, just on just the news alone, would you be interested in playing it?
I mean, yeah. Like, you'd be like, oh, yeah. I kind of want to see what they're going to do with that. Yeah.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas back then, you know, I can't imagine that would have been the case.
Mm.
But now, I guess, because as well, like, they made things in that it's kind of a retrospect as well, because they tend to make stuff that people our age did watch and things like that.
Mm.
But you're always going to get the original fans involved as well.
Yeah,
And you kind of just have to please the most critical people, no matter what, don't you?
Yeah, that's true.
Because there'll be people that play it and are fine with it, but they'll be like that with anything sort of thing.
Yeah.
And it makes a big difference. But, I mean, as far as I remember, a lot of these games, especially the early ones,
yeah,
are still remembered like as like it, like people that play, you know, retro games, because I struggle with retro games now, to be honest.
Oh yeah, me too.
I can play them very briefly, but I'm not going to sit down and really play them.
No.
Whereas some people love to play them.
Yeah.
But they still sort of rate a lot of these. Like, I know, like the Mickey Mouse, some of the Mickey Mouse games are still rated quite as like, you know, the best ones of their time, and
yeah,
you know, like Ninja Turtles. There's a lot of Ninja Turtles games that are still loved.
Yeah, I mean, I think with it seems like with a lot of the Turtles titles now, it's like they're trying to kind of recreate what the old ones did. Like they're still trying to get that back. Like I've seen a few where it's just like, you know, it's like, oh yeah, remember the old Turtles game? It's just like that sort of thing. Because they did well for the crowd, like, but I suppose a lot of them were that sort of, I mean, it's part of the technology as well, that they were all very side-scrolling, weren't they? Like the early titles and stuff. A lot of them were just platformers, or you get a lot of brawlers and stuff. But then as you go into the 3D stuff and that, you get a lot of the racers, don't you? Like, whereas that's the easy one to do is like, you've got X title and it's like, let's get the characters just racing or whatever.
It's the Mario Kart template, isn't it? Like, you know, take all those characters and put them in a race, give them weapons. And to be fair, like, even now, like, I'm happy with that. Like, if they do that, I'm happy to buy into it. It's like, well, you know, if it's, as long as it's a good racer, you know, I know it's a used template, but, you know, I do enjoy those games. They're fun multiplayer games as well.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they're definitely good party.
And if they do them right, you know, give you the right sort of incentive to unlock things, to work your way through a tournament, if they make them like reasonably difficult, but, you know, challenging.
Yeah.
And the mechanics like are enjoyable, then they can be really good. And I remember there being sort of a phase where that, like you say, there was loads of them, and for me, like, that's the, you know, the Dreamcast years, like those kind of, you'd get like the ones that make so much sense, one in particular, Wacky Races.
Oh yeah,
and that game is kind of like, you see it and you're like, oh yeah, how have they not made an older one of these? But then I guess the racer game kind of went into its like heyday then, because you'd already had obviously there's Mario Kart, there was Diddy Kong Racing, and Crash Team Racing, and all of them were pretty successful, so let's do it with others. And what I remember one I had was Looney Tunes Space Race.
Oh right, what was that one like? I don't think I played that one.
It was like you basically the characters were all the Looney Tunes, but they were all on different rockets.
Oh, okay.
And they were like, you know, just like, it was like a missile rocket, but they just rode them around. And same thing, you just throw stuff at each other.
Yeah.
I love the game. I don't know if it's aged well.
Right.
But at the time, I was really into it, just because it's all the Looney Tunes, and, you know, you could unlock new ones, and they all have different powers and stuff like that. And then there was things like Muppet Racer.
Yeah.
And that's like a weird one.
I don't remember that one either. I don't remember Muppet Race.
Yeah. So Muppet Race, it was like, the levels would be like, you know, there's a Christmas Carol level.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like a Treasure Island level, and Muppets in Space, and, or, you know, the studio or whatever.
Yeah.
And then obviously you had different Muppets controlling like vehicles that were, you know, they all had their own car that looked like it fit them in some way.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's quite
cool. But it's just, I was like, when they do it right, you're like, oh, it, there's just something that's exactly what you want out of that kind of game.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool fact, A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
But then, right, the oldest race that I can think of for cartoon was it even a racer, but like Viking Mice from Mars. We talked about that, didn't we?
Oh yeah.
So yeah. I guess they did have them on the 2D sort of level.
Mm. And yeah, some of them. That's the thing, though, isn't it? It's like some of them that makes perfect sense. Like you'd make that. You'd make that a racer and stuff, and like I think that. I think that's the good way. That's one easy way to sort of tell, like how much effort the developers have gone into sort of like making the cartoon tie-in is if they make an equivalent thing that actually makes sense, you know, because some of them didn't, did they? Like, you know, you've got titles, and it's like, well, why is this a beat 'em up? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, they wouldn't be fighting each other, or
like.
It's like, yeah,
sometimes that doesn't matter as well. Like, do you remember, was it Simpsons Wrestling?
Oh, yeah.
And then for some reason, that was hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, the Simpsons is one where it's like they just, because this, I guess, the Simpsons popularity never dies, it's like they've got so many titles. Like, I remember, like, point and clicks, like, back in the day of just, like, you know, that I remember seeing the advert for like the Springfield game or whatever, where it was like you see all your favorite Simpsons characters and stuff, and it's like, yeah, we've like recreated Springfield and stuff, like in a time before, you know, like open world sandbox games and stuff, and that was like, I remember that really blowing my mind at the time, like, wow, like you can like for a game to be able to do that, I was like really interested in that. I never got it because I didn't have the right console.
Which one was that? Is that Virtual Springfield?
I think so. Yeah.
Are you thinking, or was it Hit and Run?
No, it was the Virtual Springfield one. Yeah.
Because I had that, and it was a bit like Lego Island.
Right.
You sort of just walk around Springfield, and you can go to the shop, and then go to people's houses.
Yeah.
Really weird, isn't it? Like, when you look back, you're like, that could never be a game now.
Yeah.
in that basis. But that's it. That is, isn't it? It's like, because it was, everything was evolving so quickly.
Yeah.
You could just do something like that.
Yeah. But that was fascinating to think that you could. Yeah. Whereas now, yeah, like you say, now that's not the basis for a game. Like, it needs other content other than just being like, look, it's those things.
Like, and sometimes they would make really weird, like, weird games. It was just like someone was like, look, we need a new Simpsons game. I don't care what it is. Like, I don't care what the game is. It just needs to have Bart Simpson in it.
Yeah.
And I remember this really weird one where it was a Bart Simpson game. And I cannot remember what it's called. But you go into sort of this thing and it would, every level was like a different version of Bart Simpson.
What?
And it was, yeah, like there was Baby Bart and was one level. And then one was like some weird like monster Bart.
Right.
And things, and it's just a really, it's like the people that were making like just interesting titles were just being given properties just to get something out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got like, and that's like the same with those Mickey Mouse games. And I think that's what made them really good in a way.
Yeah, because they were different. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't think you would get that now. It's like in the same way that, you know, cartoons in the 90s, I guess, didn't have enough policing.
Mm.
It's probably the same with the games.
Yeah.
Because they're all just like, it's just for kids to just make whatever.
Yeah, just do. Yeah, it doesn't really matter sort of thing. But that's how you got like the weirdest sort of most memorable moments, is because it was like, oh, that was from the game, and like nobody's,
and it was like, you know, the money was in just selling the game.
Yeah,
whereas now it's in everything that comes with it, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, and that makes a big difference to how the game's made, sort of thing. Because I remember as a kid, like, pretty much so many games, but specifically ones like this where it was for cartoons and stuff, like Earthworm Jim, for example. I just remember being so notoriously difficult that I never made it past like a level or two. So it's like,
yeah,
you bought it, but you didn't play it that often because it was so tough. At that point, it's like, well, you know, you already given them the money, so it didn't really matter. It didn't make any heads or tails whether like, You know, you got all the way to the last level or not. It was just like, you know, as long as you buy the game, that's, you tick the box.
And that's it. And then it's all the stuff that comes out of it as well, isn't it? It's like every media platform was just a gateway to money for them.
Yeah.
They were just like, if we make this game, as long as it's got interesting aspects, like, and I think at the end, they're remembered to be good games for what they are. It's like Earthworm Jim. Is remembered to be a good game.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was solid.
It was solid, yeah.
And you'd
even now,
like,
the last time I played it, which was only a few years ago, I still didn't really get that far.
No. Like, you'd have to, I guess, I mean, we didn't have YouTube to watch playthroughs and things.
Yeah.
Which I guess you can kind of, when you think about it like that, I guess that's why kids like watching game throughs.
Yeah.
Like playthroughs, sorry, because sometimes it's just too hard and you just kind of want to know, you want to see the game.
Yeah,
but I remember with Earthworm Jim, like, I'd either like watch my cousin play it to see what was next.
Right.
Or you'd have to watch like Games Master.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
To see bits of it.
That's it. Because otherwise you'd never see those levels, which at the same time makes you think like, why put so much time and effort into the development if like, you know, this is only going out to kids, and like, you know, that's their perception at least, isn't it? Like, this is for kids, but they'll just make it solid. And it's like, well,
but then, you know, Earthworm Jim, there was the cartoon.
Yeah.
There was the toys. There was so much to it
that
I mean, we remember it super fondly, don't we? Like, and I think it definitely works. And I think a really good example of that right now is Cuphead.
Yes. Yeah,
because obviously that's similar in the way that obviously it's not a cartoon first.
Yeah.
And now there is a cartoon of it, and me and you couldn't play the game.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And it does. There is that there. I mean, so let's go back into sort of let's move forward into these like modern video game times. There's definitely less out there from cartoons. And just talking about it now, you can kind of see, I guess, that sort of policing of them and lack of, you know, I guess, creativity almost.
Yeah.
Which you can kind of understand, because, you know, it is weird that Bart Simpson game was completely nothing to do with Simpsons.
Mm.
but I loved it.
Yeah.
So there's like this kind of, you can see why someone making a game would like, until that game was put out, they did just be like, what has this got to do with anything? Why is this a Simpsons game?
Yeah. Do you think it's a lot of sort of like brand, just kind of like cohesion stuff where it's like, they, you know, it, like the game needs to be consistent with what we're doing in the show right now. So you can't go weird on it. Like you can't do that.
Yeah.
You think there's a lot of that kind of oversight going in at the minute.
I guess so. And then it kind of limits it as well. I mean, like what games are out like right now? Like what cartoon games are still out there?
I think there is still a few kind of like Cartoon Network ones where it's just like they've got different characters and stuff and they're plonking them in. So I think there's maybe a couple races out there. There are a couple sort of like 2D fighting ones where it's just like kind of beat 'em up type things. There's the South Park games, which obviously aren't for kids anyway. So it almost kind of doesn't really fit into that category almost. But I think a few SpongeBob titles, that's another one that's kind of like Simpsons, isn't it? Where there's like, there seems to be like 80 different SpongeBob games.
Yeah.
With varying sort of like critical acclaim sort of thing, because I think they're all just kind of very similar. It seems to be a case of they're dropping one every single release, and there's one for every show, or at least that they're not as they're not marketed as much that way, it doesn't seem.
No,
like, you know, maybe kids find a way to find a, you know, whatever Cartoon Network show game there is. But they even do, you know, there's little mini games and stuff on the Cartoon Network site and Nick sites and stuff like that, isn't there? So they do that.
I guess there's a lot of things before. In like, you know, like phone games and stuff like that.
Yeah
that's something I guess that as a console game you don't really think of, but
no.
You know, as a younger audience, a lot of them will probably just be playing on little tablets or phones. And there is like, there's all sorts of like, you know, Disney, Cartoon Network, those kind of the current, I guess, kids shows.
Yeah.
There are little games on there as well, aren't there? So maybe it's just a kind of thing where, like, you know, the console gaming is not necessarily the main platform for kids now.
No, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. Because I think the most successful ones are ones kind of like Cuphead, where it's more like it knows what type of video game it wants to be, sort of thing. Because you've got stuff like Kingdom Hearts, really, where it's like, you know, you've got all these cartoon elements and stuff, and you've got lots of properties, but it's very much like it knows what type of video game it wants to be, isn't it? Like, and it does that, you know, consistently, sort of thing. So you've got the appeal of the characters, and you draw in the kids in with that, but it's not just like mindlessly done, you know.
What's interesting about that is that's like one of the only places you can really get a game of like an animated film now.
Yeah.
Because a lot of them are just like the shows and everything we've just mentioned. None of them are films, are there?
No.
There's not like a Frozen game.
No.
But you can play like a version of what that would be on Kingdom Hearts.
Mm.
So that's the only, like, I can't think of many. I mean, like, and ones that you think, actually, that would make a lot of sense. You know, something like Wreck-It Ralph or Big Hero 6.
Yeah.
These kind of titles where you're like, actually, yeah, a game of that. I think they have How to Train Your Dragon games.
Right.
But, you know, how popular they are, I'm not sure.
A Wreck-It Ralph is that's definitely one where it's like, that's weird that they never really... I mean, I know they did actually make that game, like, you know, the actual kind of old school Mario style game or whatever, but like other than that, like the fact that they knew they could have full on released like a Wreck-It Ralph game in the lead up to the film as a whole marketing thing in itself, I suppose. But I suppose, you know, they've got actual video game titles in there already, haven't they? So that's
kind of,
but yeah,
it feels to me like Disney are probably now just like, well, if we're going to do that, just wait for the next Kingdom Hearts.
So they've got that avenue, haven't they, really?
Let's sort of, I guess, tie up everything. We've kind of in a way sort of figured out, you know, the, some of the elements that might have contributed to that. But say they were to put out either a new game of something old or something that you think would just be, could be a really good game. Obviously, we've just said like Wreck-It Ralph or something like that. But are there any games that you are surprised they've not made or think that they could make and would be like really good? Either, I guess, one you sort of think might be really popular.
Yeah.
And one that you would just like to see yourself.
Mm. I think, but I'm kind of, I'm more kind of surprised that the Adventure Time games never got really like as popular as they did. I think a lot of them were probably closer to being kind of tie-in things than they were kind of focused, because obviously that's that, like the whole show is based in like a crazy environment, isn't it? Like
it's, and you've got like such a big world.
Yeah, like to make, if they doubled down and made like a really solid sandbox title out of that, I think that could be really fun. That and would be really popular to play it in that sense. Just, you know, wander around Ooh and get adventures and you know that type of thing. I think that one would do really well. Whereas I'd really like to play a Gravity Falls title. Like that.
That sounds like a really interesting, like it could be a good game.
Yeah, like I feel like each sort of level could be like a new day almost, and you sort of find a there's a new, you know, suspicious thing lurking in the woods somewhere or whatever. There's a new mystery to tackle, and you go out and sort of figure it out, and you know, you level up.
It'd be a good
characters at
home. Sort of a modern. You could do like a sort of modern point and click.
Yeah, you could. You really could with that. Yeah.
Sort of thing with it. Do you know what? I would love to see, like a Batman Arkham style Gargoyles game.
Gargoyles? Oh, yeah.
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 But imagine that. So you've got the whole city at night and you're sort of one of the gargoyles flying about. Fighting evil gargoyles.
Yeah, I think that would be really cool for, it's almost kind of the basis of what Fortnite originally was where like the night and day thing works. So like you could do stuff at night, but then you have to return to the tower at night.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Whatever you've done kind of like the, you know, time ticks by, it goes 12 hours and like obviously the consequences of what you managed to do and what you didn't then affects the next day sort of thing. That would be a really cool
mechanic. Yeah, it would be interesting, wouldn't it? Like, you could do stuff with that.
Yeah.
And I think, like, going back, like, and I'm surprised I've not done it in a while, like, I do think there's definitely room, and it would be popular in a new racer.
Mm.
Because I think, obviously, kids, like, racer's one of them where everyone can play it.
Yeah.
And I know they've done like Cartoon Network Racer and Nickelodeon, and it's not really, they've done a couple and they've not really gelled.
Yeah.
But I would love to see a big one.
Yeah.
You know, something like, imagine like a Roger Rabbit style, or the characters.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, something like that. Or like, you know, like the new Chip and Dale movie, doing something with that, and you just get from loads of different, especially I mean there's obviously the new Warner Brothers game which is a Smash Brothers style game.
Yes, yeah, multiverses, isn't it? That's
cool. Which I think that's a really good idea.
Yeah, I like it almost seems surprising now that it's like, why have we waited this long?
But then I mean, because they've obviously got loads of cartoon properties. Which is really good. But then, I mean, Disney have got so many properties.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They could.
I mean, imagine a Disney racer that had all these other characters in it.
Yeah, when you think of all...
What's weird is, like, you know, if you play Sonic Racer, Wreck-It Ralph is a character.
Yeah, yeah.
So you could definitely do something with that, I think.
Oh, yeah, like... Yeah, I wonder if Disney are waiting to see sort of the success of this one, because it's working on the sort of free to play model, isn't it? Which is kind of, you know, what is popular with kids at the minute with stuff like Fortnite. So I guess
that's like, Because Fortnite is essentially a version of that anyway, isn't it? They pull in different characters all the time.
Yes, yeah, yeah. But the, yeah,
so sometimes maybe that, maybe that's what it takes, like another company to make something and bring them in rather than one company.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's the way forward with it.
I definitely think, you know, particularly the games that we want to see, I think they're pie in the sky. I think that age is gone, hasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. And now it's gonna be the modern stuff. They're gonna be, you know, they're gonna be battle royales at the end of the day, because that's what sells, sort of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's multiplayer only, isn't it, really? That's what you're gonna see for this kind of thing. Multiplayer and, you know, phone tablet based games, I think.
Yeah, I think that is where we're headed. But I do think it's interesting that we're now sort of going back to like a sort of a more cartoon look in the video games and stuff. The old games used to be, it was just dependent on the tech. You could see they're just really trying to get it as close to the, what other video games look like at the time. Like we said with Toy Story and stuff, it's like, well, we just want to kind of get it as glossy as looking as the Pixar animation. Whereas now you've got the whole trend of lots of video games are stylized, aren't they? So it is cool to see games where it's like, oh, it actually looks like the cartoon, as opposed to they're trying to make everything super realistic or whatever. I think that's something that the multiverses thing kind of has to its advantage as well, because that's got quite its own look.
But then, and like you say, like, I guess, you know, like, despite what anyone's opinion might be, that's kind of a result of Fortnite trying that out, isn't it?
Yeah, of doing the stylized look.
You know, people like that, yeah.
Yeah.
So I think with it going that way, we might end up seeing a few more games like this where it's multiplayer basis, but with properties that, you know, they know will sell, because now it's not just FIFA, Call of Duty.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I think when it's done right, you can get a really good cartoon video game. Like, I'd say a notable example would be the newer South Park games, where not only have they've backbreakingly gone to efforts to make it look exactly like the show. They've put so many little details in, and you are getting that experience of walking around the cartoon world that you know, with the characters, with the original voices, which is something that I know a lot of the new Cartoon Network ones and stuff don't bother doing. I think it's a difference of being like, whether we would want to cash in on this, or being like, well, could we make a quality video game that all our fans will like? That really makes a difference, doesn't it?
That's it. It's putting in the effort. That you need to do that now, don't you? Like, there needs to be more than just here's a game.
Yeah, yeah.
Because audiences aren't as easily pleased as we once were as kids.
No, not at all. And you will get scathing reviews upon the social of medias today.
Yes. Yes. Well, okay. An interesting discussion. I think we've hopefully cleared that question up. Yeah. At least for now. And hopefully we'll see more new wonderful cartoon video games. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please feel free to rate and review us on whatever it is you listen to us on. That really helps. If you have any burning questions that you'd like us to discuss, please feel free to throw them our way on the three poorly constructed games of the internet, Facebook, Instagram and Twitter at Toon Jam Pod, because we're going to be looking to do this more now. Also, you know, let us know what you thought of it. Is this something you would like to see more of? Or are you like, guys, get back to the tunes?
Yeah, sick of this. What is this nonsense?
It's Toon Jam, not Question Jam. Fair play. Let us know what you think. Otherwise, thank you so much for listening. And until next time, you stay jammy.
Hey, everyone. Thank you for listening. If you want to help the show keep going, you can be extra jammy by heading over to our Patreon page at patreon.com/toonjampod. Here you can get a shout out on the show or unlock bonus episodes. Ratings and reviews anywhere you listen to the podcast also really help us out. So thank you and stay jammy.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.